Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh my goodness. Could it be? Could it be true? Could it be true? Is it best show time? Oh my, could it be? I don't think it could be. I'm just a little wooden statue, doll. I'll never get to be a little boy.
Trust me, kid, stay a wooden puppet. It ain't so hot being human. Pinocchio. That's some weird stuff, man. Who comes up with that garbage? Little Geppetto, Pinocchio, whales. I don't know. Then that cricket. Not for me, man. Not for me. Didn't like it as a kid. Like it less now. Pat, are we doing the show? Is this live? Am I just talking to myself?
I mean, it'd be fun to just talk to you like this, but we're doing a live show. This is
no.
Everybody.
No.
Well, how about that? Best show's live on another Tuesday night, and boy, oh boy, tonight do we have a barn burner of a topic. Fill in the blanks, and you might say, what is that? Fill in the blanks. You know what? I don't know what it is, honestly. I reached into a little fishbowl where there's topic. No, I came up. The thing is, it takes a little bit of explaining, a little bit, but when you get to the other side of it, you'll be, boy, oh boy, I love it. You know how everybody has a movie or a TV show or a musical artist or whatever it is that you've never, or a book. God forbid a book. You read a book once in a while, you mutants. There's a thing where you haven't seen, say you haven't seen a movie and it's one everybody's seen, but you kind of think you maybe know what it's about, but you're not exactly entirely sure you do. So what you're going to do, you're going to call 201-332-3484 and you're going to try to explain what you think that particular movie or TV show or book is about. It's going to be fun. I've got a couple that I haven't seen that I will see if I can explain. And I'm sure the crew here, the Best Show crew, I'm sure they have a couple. Sure, Mike has something because he's what's his face? He doesn't like the low culture. He likes art. He's probably going to be like, well, yes, I've seen all of the Fassbender, but I have not seen the Real Housewives of no, I don't know. God bless him. That kid's he's a good kid. I love him. Love all of you. But the number 201-332-344, that's the number. And we got surprises tonight. I'm hearing tell that Pat is working hard trying to get people to call in. Not hearing so much movement from the other guys. I look on Twitter every once in a while. I see him harassing. So the other dude was tweeting at Major Biden trying to get the dog to call up. Joe Biden's dog.
I wanted to hear the whole story.
Joe Biden is like, hey, at Major Biden. Why don't you call Best Show tonight? We'd love to talk to you for a while. Man, that dog must have chomped somebody. I got to hear more about what happened with that because this dog, his dog Major, he's like, I got my dogs Champ and Major and they're going to be, and then suddenly it's like, yeah, we're shipping Major back to Delaware. What's going on? They should let Champ and Major loose at that Delaware rest stop. People running fearing for their lives, hiding at the Sbarro's, hoping not to get chomped by Major Biden. I still feel like if Trump had a dog, he would have won the election. I'm not kidding about that. That's how tenuous this stuff is. If that dolt would have just gotten a dog and pretended to like it, just even completely pretended. This is my dog. His name's Dog. Come here, Dog. Dog's a good dog. He would have won three states. Like, he would have, three of those states that were close would have gone to Trump.
What about like a week, even a week before the election, you think?
A week before, if he was suddenly like, you know, I've realized, maybe not literally a week before, October.
He would have at least won one more state.
I think he would have won one, at least one, with, even with a week to go, he would have won, I don't know, maybe not Pennsylvania, maybe Georgia or Arizona would have gone to Trump, if he would have gotten a dog. He would have gotten a dog. He would have named him Whiskers. Weird cat name. You ever heard a dog named Whiskers? And look, I'll always say this. I'll always name your pet. You got a pet you want to name for? You call up. I'll name that pet. But you know what it's time to do? It's time to start that old best show up. Fire up the engine and let's drive, baby. And we got a good one tonight and let's get it started. Pat, I'm going to play the theme music if it's okay with you.
I insist.
It's best show time. Let's do it. Best show. What's going on tonight, everybody? You having a good time? It's Tuesday night, as it always is when you hear my voice. You know it's a Tuesday night. And I'm your friend Tom Sharpling here with you for another spectacular evening. bringing you the best show, which means we've got the funny stuff, the good fun times, and the good laughs, and it's a good time had for all. It's like, it's kind of like the thing in that circus in that Beatles song, except it don't suck. The circus is going to have a good time for all. No, we're having an actual good time. That's some weird old circus poster. Now see me staring at a circus poster, write a song, doing a best show soliloquy based on some circus poster? No. Not happening. Who do we got here with us today? We got Jason, you here?
I'm right here.
Oh, there he is. That's the sound I like. Jason Dudio Gorin. Why is he named Dudio? Nickname? Well, it's a name he was given as a child because he was the dude. Oh, wait, no, that was as an adult. He's the dude that built the studio, the Dudio. And he built the Best Show Studio. He's one of the people that built the Best Show Studio. Yeah. A few people got their hands all over, but he was a prime mover with it.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Those were different times, as Lou Reed once said. Happy birthday, Lou Reed, a week ago. None of the world would be where it is right now if you were still around, Lou. You would have fixed it all. He would have entered like the Republican debates back then, even if he wasn't a Republican, which he wasn't. He would have shut Trump down. He never would have won. And right now we'd be, it's a second term of President Rubio. Wait, that's worse. No. So anyway, we got Dudio here. How are you?
I'm doing good.
You enjoying the fine spring air?
It's pretty warm in New York today. It was in the 60s.
That's what I hear.
It was great. It's supposed to be in the 70s on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So
but from the 60s to the 70s.
Yeah.
Right?
We're in it.
You're going from that girl to Happy Days.
Yeah.
60s to 70s. We got Pat around. Pat, are you here this week?
Hey-o.
Oh, there he is. It is Pat. Wait, what did you just say?
I said, hey-o.
I love it. That's the hey-o. That's the fire I'm looking for. And no, Pat, how are you?
I'm cool in the gang, my friend.
I love it. He's doing it. He's having a good time doing it. Everybody could take a page from Pat's book. Take a page from his book. He gets it. And of course, we got the guy, the king of Bayonne, they call him, the one and only AP Mike. Are you there, Mike?
How you doing, Tom?
Oh, there he is. There he is. I'm good. I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Thinking about Roger Mudd today.
Okay.
He passed away. Have you heard?
Roger Mudd passed away. The newscaster?
Yeah, he was 93 years old.
93 years young.
Yeah. Good long life, right? But,
that did it, yeah.
But, when I was in the third grade, I first heard about Roger Mudd.
Okay.
And what do you think I thought of that name?
You thought it was a cool name.
Well, I thought it was hysterical.
Okay.
Mean, you know, it got a big laugh out of me when I was 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do a school project where I had to do like a little, like a skit. And I figured if I worked Roger Mudd's name into the skit, mm-hmm. I'd get big laughs.
Okay.
And guess what?
You bombed.
No, I killed it.
You killed.
You got
Roger Mudd's name in and everybody, they were rolling in the aisles.
They were rolling in the aisles. Not only that, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a hit. I was brought across the hallway to another class to do the same thing. And guess what?
You killed again.
I killed again.
Yeah.
And I owed it all to Roger Mudd.
sure, your start in show business.
It was.
you got the bug.
I got the bug. Yeah. Roger Mudd did it for me.
Yeah. He put the bug. He gave you the bug. Little showbiz bug. You got you saw that white hot spotlight and you got hooked and that went. And then look, you're still doing that. People are still laughing by you saying Roger Mudd.
Are they?
Yeah.
It's a sad occasion.
No, but I mean, they're laughing. Yeah, it's, yeah. Look, somebody gets a 93. It's a little hard to.
Yeah, true.
A little hard to weep too much. Mm-hmm. 93 is a pretty good run.
It's a good run.
Yeah. Look at a guy like me. I'm going to hit 93. You kidding?
I'll be lucky if I hit 70.
Yeah. I think 70. I might not make it to Halloween this year. I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out. But you get a life like Roger Mudd, the late, great Roger Mudd. And,
I didn't realize he was right there, when Robert Kennedy was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
He's right in the pictures. I didn't know he was right there on the scene.
Well, me neither. I haven't brushed up on my Roger Mudd, factoids lately, but that's one.
It was on the news hour. They had a little tribute to him today.
A tribute. Yeah. Well, look, now that we've aged out from the entire audience between my talk about that girl, hey, Roger Mudd.
Gotta give things a historical perspective.
Yeah. We're in the 52 to 64 demographic right now.
Yeah. Right now, this show would be perfect for people waiting online to get the, shot, the vaccine. Right now, Best Show's catering to people that were originally eligible for the vaccine. First tier.
I haven't gotten called up yet.
You'll get it.
I guess so.
Did you put it yourself on a list?
I'm on the registry. You know, New Jersey has a registry or whatever. You put your name in there.
Look, I don't want to know what registries you're on. I never wanted to talk about this, Mike. I told you. Never tell me what registries you're on.
I'm not on that one, but I know somebody who's on that one. He was a neighbor. Sad but true.
Ay, ay, ay.
You don't know anybody on a registry?
No, I don't. I don't. No. Look, I'll say this.
What is a registry?
This sex offender registry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's not good.
Yeah, we got to change the energy of the show, but fast.
Yeah, this is not
how I like to start the show. Talk about that girl, Roger Mudd, and sex offender registries. Let's talk about candy bars, huh? What do we got going on? Jason, what's the last candy bar you chomped into?
Oh man, probably one of those, it wasn't a big bar, but it was one of those, bags of Hershey's Minis where you get the crackle and the Mr. Good bar. Mm.
Yeah.
The dark chocolate.
Sure. Yeah. Those dark chocolate ones, nobody wants that.
It's trash. It's the last bits of the bag.
I can tell you this. This is my life advice. If you're a kid and you want to be happy, develop a taste for that dark chocolate. You'll have your pick of all the chocolate for the rest of your life. Yeah, you'll be like, oh, the other stuff's so sweet. Oh, you mean chocolate? Not like weird baking chocolate, which is dark chocolate. It's not so hot.
No. No. Crackles and Mr. Goodbar went pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then you had your plain Hershey's. You got to eat through those and then. You just throw away a bag of dark ones.
You throw them out?
I mean, we don't really cook. Look
over here, the Rockefeller.
Oh,
Look at Rockefeller over here.
I like to throw them in the street and just say, you know, eat some of that.
Yeah. Let them eat cake.
Yeah. Yeah. Kristen has just informed me that we still have some dark chocolate over there.
There you go. Oh, yeah. I heard. I could hear. I could hear. The fidelity is outstanding.
Good.
Pat, What's the last candy bar you chomped into?
Probably a Kit Kat.
Classic.
Yeah, but I gotta say, I do love dark chocolate.
Ugh. All right.
I like a dark chocolate pretzel. My man.
Yeah.
My,
oh no,
for course. That.
My man Jeff Maury, who is chocolatier in Bayonne, friend of the show, he would sometimes just bring me like a bag of dark chocolate pretzels, and it was the greatest thing. Having a chocolate hookup is chocolate connect, I should say.
Yeah, chocolate connect. That'd be a good movie. Pat and Mike going with their respective connects.
Port au Cal, Bayonne.
And they got their dark chocolate pretzels. And look, Pat, I'm not looking to show you up here.
You like dark chocolate pretzels?
A dark chocolate pretzel, that's a whole other animal.
Okay. Okay.
You got a pretzel working pretty hard in there to erase the sins of the dark chocolate.
No, I mean, if I had a choice, if I had milk chocolate or dark, I'd pick dark for
pretzel. Okay, yeah, but the pretzel's working there to bring you to that place.
Okay.
That pretzel's working overtime. That pretzel's an essential worker when it comes to the that concoction.
Yeah.
That pretzel's tired.
Yeah. That pretzel got the shot.
That pretzel was the first one to get the vaccine.
Where do you guys stand on white chocolate?
It's good stuff. I like
to hate it as a kid.
Macadamia nut cookie.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. It's a little chalky sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
White chocolate can be a little chalky, and that's not the chalk part of chocolate. That's just the chalk, C-H-A-L-K, not C-H-O-C. Mike, what's the last candy bar you chomped into?
I haven't gotten a candy bar recently, but I've been getting the M&M, the peanut M&Ms. From the old days, reminds me of the studio.
Oh, yeah, when you guys would leave the lid open. Yeah, those are the good old days when I would spend $14 on a thing of M&Ms and they would be all weirdly soft.
Well, think no more because they're all gone.
See, look at that. They're all gone.
You would come out during a show. Mm-hmm. While a song was playing, and you'd walk over there and you would check the lids on each of the containers.
Yep.
I still contend an M&M can't go flat.
Well,
no, but a bug can enter the jar.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. A bug can climb in.
How's a bug going to lift a lid?
No, but wait, you guys had a loose, you might as well just had a neon sign inviting the bug in. Well, you guys are running it. Must have been like south of the border with billboards saying jar of unopened M&Ms, 50 feet. Jar of unopened M&Ms, 30 feet.
We never saw bugs in there.
Yeah. You never saw the bugs because they got out.
Uh-huh.
They get out on Friday. Around 6 o'clock on a Friday, they know.
I would leave notes for myself on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, me too.
It would be like shut down the server, you know, whatever.
Seal the snacks.
Yeah, and I would just like, it would be like at midnight. It would be like 11:45. It'd be like, check to make sure everything's sealed.
And every time that Tom would bring in a new batch of snacks, like he would give us kind of like the talking to. Like, okay, guys, now you need to keep these sealed.
First of all, I love the hint of an impression you did of me there. Oh, okay, guys.
Let's
make sure the snacks can stay fresh for as long as possible, guys.
That's usually people's impression of me.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live, at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Well, it's not my impression of you.
Thank you.
Pat, when it comes to you, that's not the impression that I get. So we just heard from the Swell Maps with their song Let's Build a Car, classic stuff from one of the great bands of all time, from their collection Collision Time Revisited, I believe it's called. But that song's available all over the place. That's good stuff. How many members of Swell Maps are no longer with us? Nikki Sudden has passed away. I believe Epic Soundtracks is no longer with us. I think somebody else from Swell Maps died also. That's sad. So we play it. Your rock lives on, Swell Maps. Boy, oh boy, tonight we got a good one. We're going to talk all about those fill in the blanks for ones that you can't get the movie or TV show you never saw, but you think you might know what it's about, and you're going to sum it up for us now. Any calls, Pat?
We got two calls.
Two calls. What a, oh, that's the saddest thing I ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it was the sex offender thing.
201-332-3484.
I'll shut this thing down. I'll shut it down right now. Throw me a call, Pat, please.
Going to line one.
Well, man.
I never should have said that thing about the list. I lost the whole audience. Mike was just making an innocent point. I had to make it, edgy. Suddenly I thought it was, I thought we were on Starsky and Hutch, and I turned it into the Shield. I had to turn it into Bleeping Shield. What am I doing over here? Why'd I turn it into the Bleeping Shield? We're doing a PG show, Starsky and Hutch, and I turn it into Bleeping Shield. Make it edgy. What are you doing, Tom? Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
To whom am I speaking?
This is Chris in Philadelphia.
Chris in Philadelphia. Do I know this, Chris?
You do not.
Well, now I do. How are you, Chris?
Now you do. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on in Philadelphia?
Not much. Just hanging out, listening to the best show. Had a lovely day here today. Lovely day in Philadelphia.
I love it. Where'd you go? You walk over the farmer's market? Center city?
Old Philadelphia farmer's market. Yep.
What'd you get? What's that? What's the market called? The train market. What's that market in the center of town called?
Reading Terminal.
Reading Terminal. When's the last time you were at Reading Terminal?
Funny you should ask. I was just there 2 days ago. For the first time in a year since all of this started.
You get that ice cream they got up front?
Well, I didn't, but I have. Good stuff. Fantastic stuff.
You start to realize, though, when you think about it, when's the last time you ate ice cream and you were just like, whoa, oh, it's awful?
2 days ago.
2 days ago that happened to you?
Same day that I went to the terminal market.
Actually. What flavor?
It was, admittedly, and you're going to understand why, it was the chocolate chip cookie dough.
No, I don't understand why. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, you're right. It should have been. It just wasn't. And all I know is that I finished the whole thing and felt disgusted with myself at the end.
Yeah, you choked it down. It wasn't that bad. with ice cream sucks. All you say to yourself is, I'm not ordering this one next time, but I will finish all of it.
Or I'll also get it again. Also,
yeah, and I probably maybe I will, and I'll forget that I didn't like it last time, right. And then I'll get it again. But you never just like, I just took a taste of that. That goes right in the garbage.
Right. No, there's very few I don't like. You're right. Unless it's overly chocolatey, I'm with it usually. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Chris, what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Well, so I have like three for the topic. If I'm getting the topic right, it's, you know, I think I've got a music thing, a movie thing, and a book as well.
All right, let's start with the movie thing first.
Say again?
Let's start with the movie first.
Okay, so pretty obvious thing, but the fact that I've managed to never see it still kind of even blows my mind. The Matrix.
Okay, you never saw The Matrix, but you
never seen it.
Have seen a lot about The Matrix.
like mostly in jest, like stuff making fun of it, comedy stuff. Sure. I know it's about, like there's pills involved.
Sure. Well, tell me the plot of The Matrix right now as someone who never saw The Matrix.
Yeah.
What do you believe the plot of The Matrix to be?
Something about a guy who, like somehow another realizes he's a computer, because he takes a pill that makes him realize that. And then he has to like fight off people who don't want him to, know that he's a computer really at the end. Is that right? I think I got it. Is that the movie?
No, that's absolutely not the movie, but that's fascinating that that's, you said it was a guy who took a pill and then became a computer?
Yeah, basically. That's my understanding.
And he's being chased by people who know he's a computer.
That's my understanding of what I think happens in it, yeah.
That's a pretty good movie. It's not The Matrix, though.
Well, this is in keeping with the topic, is it not?
Oh, no. No, I love it. I love that that's your take on it. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Chris, that is a home run, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, you know, without having really delved into it that much, from the gist of it that I can tell, that's pretty close, I thought. Apparently not.
Yeah. Well, what else? What do you got? You got one for music?
Yeah.
Is it a band you've never heard, but you've heard about?
Yeah, infinitely. Yeah.
Who's that?
Again, pretty obvious thing, Weather Report.
Okay, and what do you think Weather Report sound like?
Ooh, like worse than Zappa?
Okay, but give me, look, worse than Zappa is not exactly a...
Sure.
But give me an idea what, like, describe some elements of what you think Weather Report sound like.
Yeah. So I'm guessing a lot of fretless bass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like, what genre are they?
I mean, like, fusion-y.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay. There? Like, jazz fusion? Yeah.
Right? No, you're pretty close on that one.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, Weather Report, you got to get... Give me, sing a little bit of what a Weather Report song might sound like to you.
You're not going, no way.
No, look.
Okay, all right, fine.
Huh, do a melody of it. You don't have to do words.
Oh, God, is there melody? See, I kind of imagine it being a little, like, amelodic. Like, there's a lot
just
of...
Give me anything. Give me anything.
Yeah, like a little, like, there's a lot of... Boop, 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 like that.
Sure, I think that's actually what you're doing is when Wayne's World, when they would go into a dream sequence, is kind of sounded like what you were doing. But no, that's actually kind of not what Weather Report sound like.
Are you sure? You've heard these guys?
I've heard these guys. It's like a mellow fusion-y jazz, right, Mike? Mike knows all this.
Yeah, crap. Yeah. A couple of the guys have played with Miles Davis.
Yeah, but it's not very.
John McLaughlin, mm-hmm. Guitar player. I think Tony Williams too. I think is in that band. Mm-hmm. I'm not deep with them, but you know they're not
Jaco
terrible.
Pastorius.
They have a couple good albums.
Yeah, Birdland's an awesome song.
And how far away did that guy come to capturing Weather Report?
That's far from it. I do agree that it's a bit more melodic. You know, Birdland's like so I mean he's kind of what he did.
The jazz
award. I appreciate the perspective.
Yeah, he sounds like an anti jazz guy though.
Yeah, it does.
Not at all.
Who's your favorite jazz artist then, my friend?
I'm a Mingus fella. I like the Mingus. I like the Monk.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You know? Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite jazz artist, Tom?
My favorite jazz artist is probably either, I don't know, like Miles Davis or John Coltrane. I know those are the most basic answers you can give, but the catalogs are enormous and you can explore it for the entirety of your life. Like,
yeah.
I like Ornette Coleman. I like Archie Shepp.
Yeah.
That's like Mingus.
Yeah.
You know what Mingus song is so good is that Haitian fight song.
Yes, that's fantastic.
That's one of the best songs I ever heard in my life.
Shoes of a Fisherman's Wife. Good stuff.
Now, what's the book that you read or that you didn't read, but you think you know what it's about?
So it's got another big monolithic thing. It's Infinite Jest.
Ah, Infinite Jest.
Yeah.
Master.
Yeah.
Beret head. Not beret head. Bandana. Bandana head. Bandana head. Bandana man.
The bandana man.
What do you think it's? He wore that bandana.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I wouldn't have the guts to wear a bandana like that in a closet. I would not have the guts to be able, if I was in a phone booth alone at night, I would not be able to put that bandana on without being like, what am I doing?
Right.
But he would go on like, he'd go on like interviews wearing that bandana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord, give me the confidence to wear a bleeping bandana the way he wore a bandana.
I don't know that that was confidence. I don't know if that was confidence.
That's confidence. Maybe
like a forehead tattoo or something, possibly.
So what do you think that's about, Infinite Jest?
Well, I have to admit, I might have made 100 pages into it. And I don't feel like I have any more idea about what it's about than when I started it. I feel like I have less of an idea now.
Okay. All right. I don't know either. I can't tell you. I didn't read it. I didn't try to read it.
You didn't read it? Yeah.
That's one of those ones I would look at. I'd be like, I'd be at the bookstore. I'd be like, should I? No. And I'd be like, nah, that's not happening.
Nah, yeah.
And then I would go over and buy the new issue of Cracked magazine.
I mean, good readings. Who could blame you?
I got it. I would always want to just see what was going on with the gang at Cracked.
Cracked.
Yeah, Cracked.
I
did
caught up with that at the barbershop when I was a youngin. But yeah, that works.
You had Cracked at your barbershop?
Oh my, yes. They always had the comic books, they had Mad, all that stuff, and it would always have the front page ripped off for some reason.
For some reason. That's because that's because those are garbage magazines. They returned them.
Yeah.
They returned them. Those were unsold issues. They send the front cover back to get reimbursement from the distributor for unsold issues. It's just cheaper. The distributor don't want the whole magazine back. They just want the covers.
How much do you think they got for like a coverless Cracked magazine?
They picked it out of the garbage probably. You're reading garbage mags, my friend. You're reading Philadelphia garbage mags. You were not reading real magazines.
The barber must have had access to a dumpster
behind a newspaper stand.
You know, now you mentioned that he was a couple stores down from a newspaper shop, so
yeah. Fishing it out of the trash.
Yeah, you fish that stuff out of the trash. Or maybe trade the guy a haircut every once in a while for like
that's exactly
10 garbage mags. And then you're reading through it. You think you're living the high life. You're reading something that a rat was sitting on top of. There's a rat on top of that magazine 10 minutes ago.
Old sandwich shoved somewhere.
Yeah, old cheesesteak.
Ugh, gross. That's disgusting.
Well,
that's Chris, all I have for you, buddy. I'm sorry. That's all I had.
Well, you did great. You did great. You thought the Matrix was about a guy who took a pill and became a robot and everybody's chasing after him. I would actually prefer that movie over the actual movie.
Well, I'm gonna think about it. You've given me something to think about. Now maybe I'm going to write my plot to the Matrix.
There you go. Well, unfortunately, all intellectual property and concepts declared within the bounds of the Best Show are owned by me. So I'll get you tickets to the premiere. But
Fair enough. That seems like a pretty good deal. I'd take it.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Tom.
Have a great night. What line numbers do we have, Pat?
Well, now we have a full phone bank.
Well, looky at that.
Minus
one through five?
Now we have two through four. because we hung up on one. But we did have full phones.
Ain't got no five?
Not yet.
All right, give me a good one, Pat, please.
All intellectual property and concepts.
Is that what I sound like? Oh, no. Is that really what I sound like?
That sounds nothing like my impression.
Your impression? Hold on. What's your impression of me?
What I was doing earlier when I was saying, guys, you can't eat any of this.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Guys, just want to let you know, got new snacks. Please, guys, try to keep the lids tight this time.
I remember I bought a box of those Stroop waffles, the ones you put on top of a coffee cup and you let steam up. Well, come back the next week, the whole box is gone.
That was Pat. Pat loved those Stroop waffles. He'd heat them up in the microwave.
Okay, look. What are you, Serpico over here?
I got to get to the bottom of this.
I think we just found the rat. You're ratting him out.
I'm not ratting him out. I'm just saying the man enjoyed a Stroop waffle.
Still, I'm not ratting him out. I'm saying you literally said, "Oh, that was Pat." When I said the snacks. Had legs and walked away after 1 week. Oh, that was Pat. Then you're like, oh, I wasn't snitching it on him. That's literally the definition of snitching on somebody. You named somebody.
Pat took those.
Do we got a call on the line here, Besho?
We have not a call on the line yet. I can patch a call through right now. We have.
Why don't you give me? We got five. We got five.
Yes, sir.
Give me five. Man, we got a magic show tonight. Magic show. Besho, hi.
Hi. I've got something for the topic, if that's okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I've never seen the movie There Will Be Blood.
Okay. You never saw the movie There Will Be Blood? What do you think There Will Be Blood is about?
Well, just going by the movie poster and a couple memes that I've seen, I think it's about a man who has the distinction of having both the biggest hat and the thickest mustache in Texas. And he wants to leave his job as an oil worker to pursue his dream of breaking the world's record for drinking the most milkshakes in 10 minutes. I don't know where the blood part comes in, so I can only assume there's some sort of vampire element to it. I don't know, maybe the drill goes too deep and unleashes vampires who might also be rabid. Am I close?
Not really. No, you're kind of off target on that one, but that would be pretty good. I would watch that movie.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a good one. What was your name again, caller?
My name's Tippy.
Tippy. Oh, wow. That's that's a name you don't hear a whole lot. Tippy. I mean, the only Tippy I know of is, the guy from Euripides Pants, Tippy Nerdlinger.
Yeah, that's me.
Tippy, hold on. That's you.
Yes.
There's no way that's you.
No, I'm serious. It is me. It is.
Because hold on. From the most popular comedy rock band of all time, Tippy Nerdlinger.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me give you a little test then. I don't believe it's you. Because, you know, Euripides Pants is a pretty... There's no way this sad sack is T-
Tippy Nerdlinger from Euripides' Pants. Okay. Then tell me, Tippy, who engineered your second album, The Sophomore Jinx, which is a very, that's a mouthful of a title.
Well, the engineer of that record was Tim Kressner, and he also did American Pie Chart. Seriously great guy, and you know, I still can't believe he was killed in that Tiki Hut explosion. And you know, we all think about him a lot. It's very sad. And you know, for the record, that second album title, which is of course spelled The Soft Morge, MOR MOR J Inks. It's a mouthful. It was not our idea. That title was foisted upon us by Jimmy Iovine, who was the head of our label, and he thought it would be hilarious, and he said he wouldn't promote the album if it wasn't called that. And you know, I wanted to call the album Number Two because it was our second album, and I wanted the cover to be us and our friends doing a recreation of the Baby Ruth scene from Caddyshack, but he wouldn't go for it.
Oh my God, you are him. That's way too specific for you to not be him. It's from Euripides' Pants. That's wild. I have a bunch of your albums. I mean, I listened to the first one, I Break a You Face. I must listen to that 100 times on my CD Walkman when my Honda Civic broke down back in, man, that must have been like the summer of 2010, and I was walking to work every day.
Oh man, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. You know, especially in the summer, you must have been exhausted, and you're probably dehydrated by the time you got to work, and I don't have to say nothing of your clothes probably being soaked from sweating, you know, walking in that overpowering heat. You know, again, I'm just so sorry you had to go through something like that.
Well, it's okay. I mean, it's, hey, Tippy, and don't be offended by this. But you don't seem at all like the music that you make. If that makes sense. It's like you're very, I guess morose is the word that comes to mind. It seems like it's very at odds with your on stage persona. Cause I mean, I saw you at the Newbridge Comedy Rock Arena in 2019 and you were hilarious. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't stop laughing. I just loved all the songs. So just got bit by my spirit animal, stale Halloween candy, Netflix and chili. You did. My God, cream in my kofifi, Arbor Day anthem, cheese whiz for breakfast, drive through blues, all the songs, sneeze guard. I loved all of those songs. And I mean, the show is like when you guys are live, it's like a circus. Like it's like a nonstop circus, and you're like this very outgoing ringmaster.
Wow, that's so cool that you got to see E-Pants. You know, I'm really flattered and I'm really glad you had a good time. Yeah, I don't know. Things are just kind of different now, you know, compared to where they were when the band first started. I know some artists who say they never really wanted to be known as a funny songwriter, but then they had like a fluke hit with a funny song, and then they found themselves locked into this kind of funny song world. But I was different in that I did want to make funny music, and I loved all the stuff I heard on Dr. Domeno, you know, especially Weird Al, Frank Zappa, Barnes and Barnes, and a lot of the funny bands of the last few decades, like the Dead Milkmen and King Missile, Dred Zeppelin, Psychotic Norman. And I was inspired by that, and that was the kind of music I wanted to make. It was the only music I wanted to make, and I was so lucky to find Buzzy and Bob Zilla and Fartman. You know, these other three guys who were also really into that stuff and were willing to form a band with me. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that those guys really helped me realize my dream of bringing funny rock and roll and hopefully a lot of joy to people. And it was interesting because Euripides Pants were really lucky to kind of fill this comedy rock void that was starting to open in 2008. And we got so lucky. People just kind of took to us immediately. And before we knew it, we were playing these big rooms and selling a lot of records. And, you know, it was a great feeling to have people come up to you in all kinds of situations and say your songs really helped them through a hard time. You know, songs like Deep Fried Butter Pads, Trump's Plump Rump, Why Won't You Share Your Location With Me, Potato in My Tailpipe, My Dad Has a Secret Ska Past, 12 Years of Moron. I think I just dropped something. Hang on.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Tippy?
Hang on. It rolled under this ottoman.
Okay.
I got it. I got it.
Good.
Yeah. I Dream of Genitals, Insta Golden Grams, Till Death Do We Fart, Bridget Jones' Dairy, The Bra of Frankenstein, Fidget Spitter, Chomping Fiona's Apples, Grandma Found My Bong and While She's Got the Munchies, Something Bad, Stairway to... Sorry, I dropped it again.
Mm-hmm. Is it slippery?
It's really, it's embarrassing. It's my lucky marble, and I dropped it. You know, there's that, you know, that thing where if something rolls under, it goes exactly to the middle where you can barely, I got it. There we go.
Oh, thank goodness.
Stairway to Heaving. I met her at Wegmans. We broke up at Walgreens. We're going to need a bigger gravy boat. Pizza Party Pen Pal.
Tippy?
Yeah, I have to get a drink or something. Hang on.
Yeah, take it. It's just...
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Yule. Woke Up Woke. One Nation Underwear. And other songs like that.
Yeah, other ones like that. No, those... But you guys were pretty successful.
I mean, we even got a couple Grammys. One for I Think I'm in Love with My Dentist. And a couple years later for In the Year 2065, Grandpa Schuyler's Revenge.
Oh, man. That is such a great song. Well, both of those are. Those are classics.
Thank you.
I mean, I got to just say, so many of these songs I love. Playing Hide and Seek with Myself is so good. The Only Thing We Have to Drink is Beer Itself. Tom Cruise Wore Dirty Shoes When He Danced on My Couch is such a good song. Me Before Coffee. Santa Claus is Skipping Sean Spicer's House This Year. Low Hanging Glutes. The Grass is Always Greener at the Dispensary. Taco Hell. Saxon Pugs. Butt Bacon. Grandpa's Got the Little Blue Pill. You guys were so on it. Like, you really just, the body of work is undeniable, Tippy.
Thank you. I think we were the first rock band to have a comedy song reach number one, and that was, of course, the Ballad of Ken Burns Barber.
That's a good one. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, so many good songs.
Thanks. That means a lot to me.
I'm glad that, you know, it's nice to tell an artist that you love them. I mean, it's like Six Mike Pence, None the Richer is such an awesome song.
That was a bear to record too, because you were laughing so hard.
I'm sure. Yeah. Cream in My Covfefe. These are classics. These are like modern classics, Tippy.
Thank you. Thanks. That's really, I don't know.
You know, I gotta just say, you did it. Like, you have what all these people would like think is like the ultimate dream job. You know, you get paid so much money to make people laugh with music, and you sound so like you've been so successful, but you sound so depressed. Like, what's making you so depressed?
Well, you know, it's like if you're the best pizza maker in the world, every place you go, everyone just wants to talk to you about pizza, or they want to take you out to eat pizza. And before too long, you're going to be really tired of all things pizza, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much how it's like for me every time I leave the house, you know? Everyone just wants to talk to me about a funny song I wrote, or they want to pitch me a funny idea for a song, or they just want to yell my own song titles at me, you know? Hamilton Schmamilton, the biggest band in Delaware, Stranger Things, my ass. I mean, I'm lucky that people love and care about our music, but I just don't want to talk about it after work. I mean, like, you know, imagine you've just gotten off stage and you're exhausted from 2 hours of making people laugh with tunes like You Call This a Sausage Party and Rush's Least Complicated Song. And you're at a nice restaurant having a glass of wine and a Caesar salad, and your waiter says, oh, you simply must write a song about the time I dropped a chili cheese dog on my crotch just a minute before a job interview, you know? And it's just not what I want to talk about. So it's, oh wait, hang on. I gotta do one of these cameos for this fan. I can't believe people are willing to pay so much money for this sort of thing. Hang on. Hey Steve, this is Tippy Nerdlinger! Hope you're having a safe day and you're eating plenty of deep fried butter pads. Hope you're having a hilarious week, my friend, and by all means, keep on laughing. But anyway, what were we talking about?
Just how you're doing great. Like, you're doing great, and I don't know why you'd be so sad. But I guess, you know, you explain I get it, you know?
Yeah, my shrink, Dr. Vincenzo, he says the same thing. He doesn't understand why I just can't be grateful for all of it. And ultimately, I am, but, you know, my funny music career just permeates everything about my personal life. You know, like, take parent-teacher night. My kids' teachers want to joke around with me more than they want to talk about my kids' school progress. And you know, nowadays, all these teachers play the guitar or the ukulele, and they have pretty much a captive audience with me and my ex-wife sitting there. That's a whole nother story and whole nother unfunny layer to this whole nightmare of my life. But anyway, the teachers either want me to sing Duncan D's Nuts or play me some of their own funny songs while I'm sitting there, and I'm worried about my son Shasta not being at the same reading level as everyone else in his grade, you know. So it's tough, you know. It's just definitely not what I signed up for. And, you know, I mentioned I'm divorced. Imagine trying to navigate through the dating scene at 40 when every potential partner knows me as the silly guy with the red ponytail who sang "I Got VD on VD" to Kathy Lee and Hoda on the Today Show on Valentine's Day in 2015. You know, it's hard for them to get past, you know. And as you've seen in the show, I do all these funny faces when I perform. So that's even more off-putting to potential lovers, you know. I don't know if you ever saw the Robert Townsend film Hollywood Shuffle. Have you seen that?
I have, yes.
There's that scene where people are picketing his character, Jimmy, for playing a very unfortunate stereotype on a TV show. And his wife is defending him, and at one point a female reporter comes up to her and asks her if Jimmy makes those dumb faces he makes on the show when they're in bed. And I've had moments like that. You know, a friend of mine tried to set me up with a friend of hers, but the friend said she could never go out with me because she'd always be thinking about how I had sex with that new metal scarecrow in our video for Children of the Band Korn. And it would be, quote, Dust Bowl City down there for her. You know, it's very, very hurtful. You know, so factor in all that stuff and you can see how it would wreak havoc upon my personal life. You know, it really is a double-edged sword. I'm sorry, I said double-edged sword. I have a tendency to fall into comedy rock speak in normal conversation. Double-edged sword is, of course, a song on our sixth album, Tan Fat Is Pretty Fat. I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, it's tough because I made a fortune doing this, and I made a name for myself as kind of the king of comedy rock and roll, but I painted myself into this joke rock prison. Mm-hmm. But hang on, let me write that down. That's a really good title for my memoir. Hang on.
Joke rock prison.
Yeah. I don't know. At this point, I kind of fucking hate funny music, you know? It's pure drudgery. I dropped that thing again. Hang on. Oh, it's a lucky marble, but I can't seem to hang on to it. I don't know if that's ironic or bittersweet. I don't know. So, I don't know. Basically, it just isn't the music I want to make anymore, and it's just eating me up.
Well, then what kind of music do you want to make?
Well, you know, like the songs I connect with most are, I don't know, like Everybody Hurts, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, He Stopped Loving Her Today, Cats in the Cradle, I Can't Make You Love Me, Shannon, When the Party's Over, The Tigers Have Spoken, Yesterday, Winner Takes It All, I'll Remember You, you know, songs like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Those are some pretty, yeah. Well, I'm curious about you now that I got you. I see what kind of music you're interested in. It's very, very different from what you're making as a, you know, as the singer from Euripides Pants. And, like how about movies and stuff? Like, what kind of movies are you into these days?
Well, my favorite movies are, Requiem for a Dream, Leaving Las Vegas, Elephant Man, Old Yeller.
Wow.
Ordinary People, Into the Wild, Sophie's Choice, Terms of Endearment. My favorite movie, of course, is Schindler's List.
Well, those are pretty intense movies.
I don't know. I just connect with them somehow.
Sure, sure. No, I know. I get that. Well, how about what kind of books are you into?
Hang on. Let me just look at this shelf real quick. What we got here? Flowers for Algernon, The Road, It Remains the Day, Charlotte's Web, The Notebook. Oh, hang on. I'm so sorry. I forgot I have this interview right now with that comedy podcast, The Funny Farm. That's what we need, right? Another comedy podcast. I'm thinking pure torture for me at this point. Anyway, it was good talking to you, Tom. I should go.
Well, can I ask you a question before you get out of here? Something I've always wondered.
Yeah, sure.
Tippy can't be your real name. Like, what is your real name? Can I ask that?
No, my real name is actually Tippy Nerdlinger. It's like my parents gave me a name that would ensure both giant success and also the arrival of my greatest personal nightmares. So, anyway, good talking to you. Hang on a second.
Hey, what's up, freaks? It's Tippy time! Now who is ready to laugh?
Tippy? Okay. I guess we lost Tippy. Anyway, I think we got the short end of the stick on that Tippy interview with the, I don't know. Poor guy. Pat.
Sir.
We got any other, sir, I like that. That's what this show needs more of, sir. Not the way it is now. There's a little bit of, there's a casual vibe going on. Maybe we need a slightly more, I don't want to say military vibe to things. That might be too much.
Can I call you Chief?
Can you call me Chief? No, you call me, let's try Sir for a little bit.
How about Admiral?
No, that's mocking because I'm clearly not an Admiral either.
How about Boss?
No, boss means I'm not the boss. You call someone Boss. That's
Chief and Boss are pizzeria talk.
Yeah, Haas? Exactly.
Can I call you Haas?
Yeah, Chief and Boss, that's like you're getting your tire fixed on your car from a place you didn't plan on going into. So you're just like, you need to bring a certain amount of aggression to the mix so the person doesn't rip you off.
But Haas is endearing.
You want the combo boss?
What's that?
You want the combo boss?
Hey, Haas.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you call me my man while you're at it?
It's pretty good.
I like that one.
No, I don't like Haas or Boss or Chief. Or Admiral, they're all mocking me. Pat's the only one that showed brought a little bit of dignity to the table for me, sir.
He's just trying to cover for the Stroop waffles.
I don't know. I gotta say, you ratted him out. Oh, that was Pat. Pat took the Stroop waffles. Pat, first of all, Pat, did you take the Stroop waffles?
Take is a strong term here. I mean, they were snacks for the crew. I ate some.
Sure. Well, did they ever leave still sealed in the package?
No.
He hid them above the stove.
Above
the stove? He was being crafty. I can't fault that.
No, I didn't hoard them.
Every now and then I'd be like, hey, Pat, have you seen the Stroop waffles? He's like, I haven't seen them. But then I'd see him sneak one from above the stove.
Now, this is what Pat probably was worried that you guys were just going to open the Stroop waffle packages and leave them open the way you do with everything else.
Here's what I did do, and I think this is being inflated a little bit. I was definitely on top of when snacks were going to go bad and when we should either – toss them or
start eating
or like if it's a few weeks before, maybe we do a donation drop or something.
And Mike and I were always of the let's eat this stuff camp.
You guys were always of the
let's do a science experiment and see how fast this goes bad if we leave the lid off camp.
But I did move the Stroop waffles to the freezer when it was like a week out before it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't hiding them or hoarding them. It was simply, this will preserve them longer than They weren't above the stove or above the fridge. They were in the freezer where
the
there
only
was
thing that belongs in our freezer is batteries.
Is my Elio's still there?
Your Elio's is still there.
Oh, okay.
Elio's.
I'll pop by for those.
And there's still a Four Loko.
Swing on by, get your Elio's. Elio's. This guy finally cracks that wallet open. Some moths flew out. He gets some Elio's.
Oh, those were a gift.
He buys some gas station frozen pizza.
I think a listener that visited the studio brought those.
That's
you
right.
You didn't even bring the Elio's yourself, did you, Mike?
No, they were a gift.
Is my Elio's still there?
Well, I still remember them. It was a nice gesture.
Yeah,
sure. He did claim it only because he said he was going to eat one of those if we ordered the bad pizza.
Oh, yeah, that upside down.
And the bad pizza was the good pizza.
The good pizza.
You mean the well-made pizza?
The down pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike likes the trash pizza.
No. Mike would have been perfect in the days with like automats when you just show up and you put a quarter in the thing and then a sandwich pops out. That who knows how long it's been sitting there.
Automat?
Yeah.
My grandpa took me to one of those once.
I remember seeing them in cartoons and movies and things, always being like, man, I wish I could go to a place like that.
It was weird, you know.
Just reach in, you grab you pop open a little lid, like a little door, and then you reach in, you grab a piece of pie.
Yeah.
That's probably food of the future. That's like what we need post-pandemic.
And everyone's touching that door to open the to get your pie or your burger. Mm-hmm.
Everyone's touching
the same knob.
All right. We got any calls?
Full phones.
Let's start at one. Let's begin at the beginning, as they say. Best show, hi.
Hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Emily. Hi, how are you?
Emily? I'm good. Where are you calling from, Emily?
I'm calling from Chester County in Pennsylvania.
Chester County, home of?
Oof. Wawa, I'm guessing.
Wawa. It's the home of Wawa. Yeah.
I don't have a Delaware County accent, I hope. I'm just kidding.
A little bit. You got a little bit of one.
Okay.
You hope. You said you hope. You're like, I don't have a Delaware County accent, I hope.
I was born and raised in Havertown, so a little bit, just a little.
You're like the Bruce Springsteen of Chester County.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
So tell me again your name. I'm so sorry.
Emily. It's Emily, yeah.
Emily, what's the best song with your name in it?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many.
Is it See Emily Play by the Pink Floyd?
That's a good one. That is a good one.
Is it Emily, ba, 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 Emily, brr, brr, brr. Who's that by? The Zombies or something?
Actually, Bill Evans has a good song by Emily.
Bill Evans has an Emily, like a jazzy Emily.
Yeah. Yep, that's it.
Okay. So what do I owe the pleasure of this call tonight, Emily?
So I heard there's a topic that there's something that you're just not familiar with.
Mm-hmm. It's like something you're not familiar with, but you think you can maybe explain or try to tell the story of. And I'm curious to see how close or far away we all get tonight.
I'm going to attempt. I don't know, but this is a true story. I am not familiar with Star Wars. I've not seen any Star Wars.
Okay. You've seen zero Star Wars movies.
None. Only what I know is what I've heard.
Okay. Tell me then what the character of R2-D2 is like.
Like an imitation or like a...
Like what does R2-D2 do?
I actually have no idea. Does he give like a status of like where people are or like?
Well, just give me. Okay. That's pretty good. Now tell me what you think a Star Wars movie is about. Like give me a thing. What do you think the first Star Wars movie? What do you think it's about?
I'm 100% honest with you. I'm not even trying to fib, but I have no idea. Is it like time travel? Is it, I know it has to do with space, but I have no idea. Like, is it time travel?
How many characters can you name from Star Wars?
Oh gosh. I always thought it was Darth Vader, but I'm hearing that it's Darth Vader.
It is Darth Vader. Yes.
Yeah.
So you're saying the first Star Wars movie is like a time travel space story?
Yeah, I think.
And is there any element that you maybe saw even like parodied in a thing or saw a t-shirt of that helped you like fill in the blanks with things? You know what made me think of this is I was listening to this podcast about the movie Halloween. You know the movie Halloween with
I know that, yes.
With Michael Myers and yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis and PJ Souls and Donald Pleasance and all the crew we all love so much. And I remember on this podcast, it was a good podcast. It summed up the making of the Halloween movie. And they talked to a young Danny McBride. Well, they talked to Danny McBride about when he was a kid and he would go to the video store and he would start staring at horror movie boxes, right? And
okay.
He stared at the box for The Shining at a Blockbuster video and he thought the movie was about a sheik. He thought because Jack Nicholson is sticking his head into the chopped door that he thought that was like a sheik wearing his headwear, which as a kid, that's the most fascinating thing I can think of that a kid fills in the blanks of just like, I guess he's like a sheik or something.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah.
But that's the amazing thing about these. Like if you see a t-shirt and you see some Star Wars thing on it that you go, I have no idea what that is, but I think maybe it's about a time travel space thing.
Or Harry and the Hendersons. But I see like Chewbacca, I think of like, what is that?
How do you think Chewbacca sounds when Chewbacca talks?
I mean, it's like, I don't know. Does he talk or is it just like noises?
Well, make a noise that you think he sounds like, and there's no judgment at all.
You're going to judge. I don't know.
I'm not.
No. I don't know.
That's pretty good. Okay. You think he shrieks. You think he's shrieking kind of. Okay.
Yeah. But does he talk? Do you know?
Well, I do know. I have seen Star Wars.
Oh.
I will say this, Emily. You could not be further off on your version of Star Wars. There's no time travel in it. But I kind of like where you're at with this. You have no idea about it. You have no interest in getting more knowledge about it either, do you?
I really don't. Is that terrible?
No, it's not at all. No. It's admirable is what it is.
I feel terrible when I see people that have it or talk about it. I'm like, yeah, I just don't.
But look, I can say this. Do you watch Pixar movies?
I mean, I've seen like Toy Story, but maybe up to like number two.
I never saw Toy Story 3 and everybody's like, oh my God, Toy Story 3. Is the greatest movie of all time. It's the saddest thing I ever saw. First of all, it's like, can you guys maybe make a happy one at some point? These Pixar things? why do they all have to be, you'll never believe it. It's a movie. It's so bleak and depressing. It's like, oh no, at this point I do believe it. All your movies are the same. Like Up. Like, but I never, like Up is a story. Do you ever see Up?
No, I literally have never seen Up, and everyone tells me I see the balloon thing.
They skip it. Skip it. It's garbage. It's garbage. It's a piece of trash.
Why do you want to be sad? It's a cartoon. Why is it sad? Yeah,
exactly. You guys got a problem with, this is when I would like one of these Pixar movies. Suddenly they're like, they're all sitting around sad and depressed. Like, cause Up is like this old man, and then his wife dies and he's sad and alone. It's like, why am I watching this? What is this?
Why is our kid watching this?
Yeah. Oh yeah. By all means, let's bum everyone out from 8 to 80. Let's bum them all out at the same time. No, but this Toy Story 3, I never saw it. And I like look at every, and in my mind, I started filling in. I'm just like, why would it be sad? What are the, and then all I picture is the kid going to school or something and he throws the toys away or something? Is it like, and then they got to like rescue the toys from a garbage can? That's what I think Toy Story 3 is about. That they're rescuing the toys from a garbage can because the kid's going away to school. Is that, who here on the best show saw Toy Story 3? Jason?
I did not see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you didn't see it. Yeah. Pat didn't see it.
Negative.
No, and Mike didn't see it because it wasn't directed by Jacques Tati.
I haven't seen any of them. Because
you didn't see it.
Because they're for children.
Monsieur, because it wasn't Monsieur Hulot's vacation. Like Mike's like, I saw the other day a new, restored print of Bob Le Flambeau.
Not a fan of that movie.
Not Peak Melville, but I never saw Toy Story 3. I'm assuming that's what it's about. It's about the toys get thrown in a garbage can and they got to rescue some of the other toys because the kid threw them away before he went to college. Is there anybody, can anybody tell me how close I am or far away? You can hit us up on Twitter. Just tell me. So, Emily, we've all got the Spuns. I never saw Shawshank Redemption. I saw part of it.
Feel better. Okay.
But I think it's like a guy gets wrongly accused in prison and then he escapes through a toilet or something.
I never saw it either.
Is that what it is? He gets out, he digs through a toilet and escapes the prison?
That's better than the actual movie.
Okay.
I think that's what happened. I actually think I saw that, but that was probably 15, 20 years ago.
But how close? So I'm not too far away on that one.
He goes through a sewer line. I don't think he doesn't go through the toilet. Close.
Yeah.
Well, in Trainspotting, they go through a toilet.
That is true.
Yeah. I got to know how close I am on Toy Story 3. Emily? Any other ones?
Oh boy. There's probably some other ones out there that I'm just not, I'm trying to think. I can vaguely remember the first Godfather. I've not seen any of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Godfather 2, you have no idea about.
No clue. Not even a clue.
Do you know that Robert De Niro is not in the first Godfather, but he's in the second one?
I didn't know that. That's a, okay. No, no idea.
Who do you think he plays in the second Godfather movie?
I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Okay. No, I get it. And also, it's a very good movie, but it's not the best movie. Everybody thinks it's the best one. It really isn't the best one. So Tavy's saying, oh, wait, I actually wasn't far away, I guess. Kid's mom gives the toys away because he's going to college, end up in a daycare with some creepy demonic toys, and a chase ensues that ends up with them at a garbage dump. That's pretty good. I actually got closer than I thought. Because everybody's like, it's so sad, and you can see where that's going, though. That doesn't take that. That one's not that hard. Toy Story 3. I like
it. It's only a matter of time, right?
It's a fun world where all the toys are doing the thing. And then these maniacs at Pixar are just like, well, we should just have them try to burn the toys then. They're not loved. Like, they're like, what if the toys aren't loved anymore? Yeah, okay. That's weird. Weird you guys are so into making sure people are sad about everything. And I'm going to say this. I worked with a couple of these Pixar guys once. The dumbest guys I ever met in my life. I never met with a bigger group of cornballs. there's not as much corn at the corn pop factory as there were at when those guys were around. One idea was cornier than the next. Anything else, Emily?
So everyone tells us to watch The Queen's Gambit. Never watched it.
I watched it. What do you think it's about?
I mean, I know it's about chess because everyone says it, but I feel like people are telling me to watch it, so I don't want to watch it because they're telling me to watch it. Mm-hmm. What are
you? You have that streak in you. I have that streak also.
I have that streak, yeah. It's like, and then I'm not going to like it because you already told me to watch it. So it's like, yeah. I have that in my head.
I ain't never seen The Wire because everybody says it's the best thing ever. I'm just like, well, I'm not watching it then.
Yeah, and I live near Baltimore, so they're like, well, you're near there, so you should really like it. Like,
yeah. Well, Emily, you get it. I get it.
We get it.
We get it. They don't. Thank you for the call, Emily.
Thank you.
Pat, give me line 3, please. Best show. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Speaking to Simon from Ontario, Canada.
Simon from Ontario, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Ontario?
Near Toronto, about an hour.
Because Ontario is a province, not a city or a town.
It's true. I don't want to dox myself.
No, don't worry. You're not going to dox yourself.
Yeah, I'm like an hour outside of Toronto. Pretty close.
So what's going on, my friend?
Not too much. I think you hit it on the Pixar movie thing. I think you hit it on the head there. The whole, like, Pixar movies are just fun concepts executed depressingly.
I think we got to go get somebody over at that Pixar headquarters to come in and kind of like, they need some therapy dogs or something.
Yeah, the pitch room must be a mess. It's about a man. He's got a house and he floats because he's got balloons on it and his wife is dead.
Yeah, like they're like, hey, what if a house had balloons on it? It was flying all over the place. I like it, but what if his wife is dead?
It's about clownfish. It's fun. And then the son gets kidnapped.
That's another one, too.
Yeah.
Finding Nemo. Ay.
The opening scene is literally the main character's wife dies. It's...
We got to go. There might be a gas leak or something over at that Pixar room, and these guys are all falling apart because they're breathing in fumes.
Yeah. Or maybe it's just a bad work culture. We got to send them a truckload of some sort of antidepressant.
Yeah. So why are you calling tonight, my friend?
I got one thing I've never seen before.
What's that?
I've never seen this is a recent one. I've never seen Tenet.
You never saw Tenet. Well,
no.
Get online. What do you think Tenet? Neither did I, and I don't know two things about it. What do you think Tenet is about? And I'll say
I don't know anything about it either. I had one person give me two sentences about it because they saw it. I'm guessing it's Robert Pattinson. He's bootingly trying to stop some sort of machine that makes time go backwards. Or maybe it's a machine that makes dialogue incomprehensible. I'm not sure.
Okay. I would say, and I've saw the trailer for it. That's all I've seen. I think Tenet is about a, that, what's his face? What's his name? John David Washington?
Denzel Washington's kid?
Yeah. Is it John David Washington? Is that his name?
I think that's it.
That he is a detective who goes back and forth in time to solve a crime, that things can go forward and backward, just like the word tenet. And that he has to go back. I mean, that's the only reason this stupid thing's called tenet is because it's a palindrome.
When I first heard it, I thought it was tenant, like a landlord.
Mm-hmm. Tenant, yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say he needs to solve a case and he can fast forward or rewind time while he tries to solve the case. And,
good as yes,
and Robert Pattinson is in the, he's in the Brad Pitt 12 Monkeys chair in this one. anybody here seen Tenet?
I have not.
I haven't.
Oh my God. I'm not even gonna ask Mike.
No. Nope.
What Mike's gonna say. Right? No, Mike's gonna land on that one. He ain't seen Tenet.
Well, I don't think it was released in theaters, right? I think they tried to do a home release or something.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, I think it's been on, yeah, I don't know. So what's the plot of Tenet, people on Twitter? How close are either of us?
I mean, it's a Christopher Nolan film, so there's a few things that you can kind of account for. Mm-hmm. Certain sound design choices, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a film.
Right? There's one of those in it.
Well, yeah, it's Hans Zimmer, right? He's attached to all of those things.
Yeah. Anybody got the plot of Tenet for us? On Twitter. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm in the same boat as you, buddy.
That's good. I won't keep you long. I just wanted to say real quick, I just discovered So Far, the recap podcast.
Yes, yes. The Very best show, fun. The best show crew recapping and summing up and exploring the catalogs of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young individually and collectively. Year by year, and we're going to do another episode very shortly, and we'll keep going. We're up to the end of the 80s, just about.
Yeah, I hardly knew anything about any of those guys. I knew a bit about Neil Young because, you know, Canadian and kind of classic, although he was kind of American. I think he likes America.
He does.
Yeah, he got out of here first chance he could.
He did. Even though he always threatened, where he said, well, I'm going back to Canada, right? The journey through the past. He always threatened he'd go back, but he didn't.
Yeah. And I got a question for Mike, if that's all right.
I wish I could say it was okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. What is the question?
Related to him. It's just because the Grateful Dead gets brought up a lot because What's-His-Face was on a lot of those records. He's a Grateful Dead fan, right?
Yeah, I am.
Ed?
Who's what's his face?
Jared Garcia.
The main guy. Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a thing about the Grateful Dead. How do Grateful Dead fans feel about Dead and Company, John Mayer's
outfit? They love it. They love him. He's their new hero. They've shown they have no aesthetic voice or attitude. They love John Mayer, Jason Mraz. Jack Johnson, all that stuff. I'm telling you, these Grateful Dead fans, if they announced that Shaggy 2 Dope was going to front the Grateful Dead and they were going to tour around, these Dead fans would justify it and they would rationalize it into be like, no, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I agree with you on that, Tom. I did see the John Mayer group. Somebody gave me free tickets. Didn't spend a dime although I had to transport myself to Madison Square Garden.
No, they didn't cover that for you. They didn't add that to the free ticket.
They didn't pay for the Uber. I should have made that a stipulation, right?
Yeah.
No, you got to pay for the Uber.
You want transportation covered.
But I went in with zero expectations, and it wasn't that bad, I have to admit.
What songs did he do that you were shocked by? Ripple? When he did Ripple, were you like, that's a pretty good Ripple?
No, believe it or not, that song isn't played live very often. But no, I thought his voice is in better shape than Bob Weir's. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of the two singers, he was the better singer.
Okay. All right. There you go. Does that answer your question there?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, John Mayer,
he's a tall guy.
Is he tall?
He's super tall. I saw him once.
He's not super tall. Is he 6 feet?
No, Tom. I'm tall, but he's tall. I was like, whoa.
Okay, how tall? I say he's 6'6".
7'7".
7, so you're putting him at George Muras on.
Yep.
Level. What do you think George Mirason's uniform number was when he played on the Washington Bullets?
77.
It was, yes. Somebody just said, the plot of Tenet is basically about how Robert Pattinson's such a good pal to John David Washington. It helps him out backwards and forward in time. Other stuff happens, but that's where the heart is. Okay.
According to Google, John Mayer is 6'3", a giant.
Yeah, that's tall.
And 6'3".
Pat, it's like 3 and 2 inches taller than you.
Pat, how tall do you think I am?
John Mayer, I saw him at a party. Mm-hmm. He was wearing like a tall boot heel, but he was tall. He was towering.
Okay, all right.
What party was this?
All right, so I used to do freelance work for a popular website in New York City, and I didn't know how big their holiday party was or that there was going to be celebrities dropping in. I thought it was just going to be like a thank you to the crew. So I just wore a nice shirt and went to say hello. And then it was like this massive party and they had this like famous DJ there. I don't remember her name, but I found out later that she was, in a relationship at the time with John Mayer, and then John Mayer showed up and he was the tallest. I wasn't shocked that the celebrity was there. I was shocked at how tall he was. He was so tall.
Okay.
He looked tall.
He's 6'3". Pat, I'm 6'2".
He looked tall.
I'm 1 inch shorter than John Mayer.
The man had height.
Okay.
Maybe it was how he carried himself. I don't know.
All right. Well, maybe I got to step it up then in terms of I got to straighten my back out when I'm walking around. Maybe I'm slumping too much.
Let's call it stoop shoulder. Posture. Maybe he had a tall boot shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he had a tall hat. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm ready. Look, we might have differing definitions of what super tall is then. But that's why God invented horse races. Something for everyone.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Now, caller, anything else?
No, that's about it. I got my Grateful Dead question answered.
Great. All right. Hit the bricks. You're done. Play a quick record and we'll be back for more. We talked about them last week and we're going to hear them now. They are the band that should have been the final band in the history of rock music, but for some reason people kept staying in bands. Don't know why. Roxy Music. Ah, there you go. Roxy Music from 1972, the BBC Sessions. Virginia Plain. That's what and you hear them and then you hear when Eno's not in the band. Not for me, man. That should be my, Brian. Maybe I'll start calling myself Brian. Oh no. O-H-N-O. Right, Brian. Oh no. That'll be my musical, name. Brian. Oh no. Oh, what do we got to talk about here? We got big news coming up. We got new episodes of Meet My Friends, The Friends coming out steadily over at the Patreon for the best show called Patreon. The address is patreon.com/thebestshow is where you can get all of that stuff and check out all the bonus content, whether it's So Far, which we talked about earlier, or Meet My Friends of Friends. We got an Ask Tom episode where you send questions in and I answer them. I got one of those in the can that'll come out soon.
It's already out.
It's out?
Yeah, it came out Sunday.
Came out Sunday?
Yeah.
Well, how about that? Thank you for putting that out. So we got that out. I'll do another one in a couple weeks. We're keeping it going. A lot of content. Thanking you for supporting the best show, because that's how we keep the show on the air. We don't have no ads. We don't have no nothing like that. It's listener support keeps us going. And so thanks for the support, and we'll keep giving you the shows. All right. And by the way, speaking of shows, last week we talked about it on the best show, Ahoy, the show in which I review fish sandwiches at different fast food chains. You have spoken. I got 1,000 retweets on it. Ahoy will happen. Within the next 3 weeks, the debut episode of Ahoy will go up. How's that? How do you like that? And I'm working on real guests for Ahoy. Ahoy is going to turn into the centerpiece of the best show for Empire.
I've got a McDonald's and a Popeyes near me. Just saying.
Okay.
I'm available.
Oh, wouldn't kill you to try one of those Popeye sandwiches. Well, actually, it might. I almost killed me. I had it. I saw the pearly gates after I had that.
Maybe I could be the guest for that show. I could be the guinea pig.
I could
be the guinea pig.
That thing was, I tell you, you get older, you get to this weird moment where suddenly you're like, oh boy, I really shouldn't have had that piece of bread. What was I thinking with that piece of bread I had earlier? Like when you're a kid, you're like, I'm going to eat. I remember one time I went with my family and we went, I was a teenager at this point. We went to go eat somewhere and there was like a line to wait for a table at the place. So then what I did was I went and ate somewhere else and then came back and ate with them also. I was just eating like a lunatic back then. I went and ate a dinner by myself while they stayed online and then came back and was just like, yeah, I'll eat everything I was going to eat with you guys also. Don't worry. I'll do two dinners tonight.
Where did you have your pre-dinner?
Cheesesteak place. It was in Trenton. It was in Trenton. Oh, yeah. We were waiting at a pizza place. It was like the really fancy tomato pie place. Not fancy, like a real, it's the opposite of fancy. Some hole in the wall, but it was really great. And we're waiting for a table. I'm like, yeah, I'll be back in a minute. I walk around the corner, get a cheesesteak.
Wow.
Put that back, come back, eat 80 slices of pizza. Now, meanwhile, I'm just like, boy, really, really went out of control with that, melon I had. Boy, that melon was really, pushing it. Then I put that vanilla yogurt with it. What was I thinking? I had that bland yogurt. I was living it up a little too much. Then I had that soda at 3 o'clock. Now I can't sleep.
Does that take you into like Tums or Pepsi territory?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, at this point, I order pizza. I have them put Tums on the pizza. When I order a pie, it's they put Tums right on it, like little pepperonis, little rainbow pepperonis. What we got, Pat? Any calls?
We have a full phone bank still.
Well, let's burn a few calls.
Okay.
I'm seeing on Twitter that looks like Mary is one of the many people on hold.
Yes, she's on line two.
Well, we're not going to do line two just yet. I want her to, she's got to percolate for a second. But give me four. How about that? Besho, hi.
Hi, Captain Tom.
To whom am I speaking?
This is Woody in Rochester, Tom.
Woody in Rochester. This is a good caller, if I remember correctly. Am I right about that?
Tom, I would never disagree with you.
Well, what can you do for? What do you got for me, Woody?
I got one for the topic, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. That's why we do topics.
That was my understanding as well.
Literally the opposite of me minding. Can you imagine if I minded that you wanted to do something for the topic tonight?
Yeah, how dare you?
Yeah. Wouldn't put it past me though, honestly. I think I've come close to that.
Yeah, I mean, sure. If you could have like a fit of pique or whatever.
Yes. So what do you got for the topic?
All right. Well, I want to see this movie, but I just haven't got around to it. And it was a big deal a couple of years ago, but, this movie Parasite.
Yes. Parasite. Great movie.
Haven't seen it. I hear it's great. It won Best Picture. I've seen other, movies by, Bong Joon-ho, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like I saw The Host and I saw, Snowpiercer. I have no idea what Parasite is about.
What do you think it's about?
Well, I thought there was a promotional image or something that I feel like I saw somewhere. And maybe it's not even from this movie, but like, it looked like everybody was having like a high school or a college graduation party, like in somebody's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Something bad happens there, and the movie's called Parasite, so I'm wondering if it's like there's something in the food.
Okay. Like what was, so you think the threat is the food or a parasite in the food?
Well, I mean, it's like, I assume it's like more supernatural or something. Like it's like the parasite's in the food, but it's like real gnarly, you know?
Okay.
Like something like the, you know, like the bug in Men in Black, you know?
Yeah, Edgar.
It's the thing that kind of, eats you from the inside out, you know, and you just are like a big skin bag or something. I was thinking it'd be something crazy like that.
I want sugar! Give me sugar! You think it's like that? You think it's like a bug that inhabits someone's skin, like a parasite?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Any other things you would guess happen in Parasite?
Well, gee, that's literally the only things I know about. I mean, okay. It's fun. Right. I whatever it is, it probably keeps getting bigger and bigger, you know?
Okay. Well, how far off do you think you are?
I mean, I'm sure I'm real far out. I kind of want to, I mean, I don't care about spoilers or whatever. I don't know if you care about
it. Well, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I am going to tell you this. You're so far off. you are so, so, so far off.
Oh, man. Now I really want to, see it even more now.
Yeah, it's great. You should see it.
Maybe I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah. I'm sure Mike hated it.
Well, I mean, that's Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's all right?
Who's all right? Okay, he probably hated it because it was in color. He likes these movies. They got to hear this guy talk about Berlin Alexanderplatz.
Sure.
Yeah, you're way off on it. So far off.
I mean, I guess I'm going to have to remedy this situation, right?
Yeah. Well, it is exciting to hear people fill in what you think it could be. I love it. I love this topic.
Look, there's no bad food in the whole movie, you're telling me.
Just see the movie. But there's no bad food in the whole movie.
All right.
All right, Woody. Thanks for the call.
I'll do it. Yeah, thanks a lot, Tom. Have a good night.
You too. Give me another call, Pat, please.
You want Mary or you want a different?
Yeah, you give me your pick. You give me your pick. If you think it's Mary, Tom, give me Mary. Hello, Best Show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
Joseph from Fort Worth.
Joseph from Fort Worth. Now, this is Texas. And Texas, you guys have been getting it on the chin a little bit there lately.
Did we have? Yeah.
How are you holding up now? Are things a little more back to normal?
Thank you for asking. Yes. For me, thankfully, I kind of got pretty lucky and only lost power for, you know, a few hours during one day. Didn't really have any major issues other than that. So very lucky to have made it out of that without, you know, mm-hmm. Catastrophic sort of events going on for me.
And water was okay in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, there was a boil water notice for a few days, but otherwise, you know, nothing, no frozen pipes or anything. The dishwasher broke for some reason, but otherwise all set, you know, no big problems.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm glad you're okay, although I don't know why. I mean,
thank you.
Nothing happened to you.
No.
You're a fancy guy. Nothing happened to you there.
Yeah, I'm Ted Cruz in terms of the context of the rest of the
story. And where do you stand on Ted Cruz? I can't get a bead on this guy. I'm not sure what I think of him, because sometimes I'm just like, this guy seems pretty cool. I think he's funny. I think he's charming. And seriously though, if that guy, I can't think of somebody who seems less from Texas than that guy.
Yeah. He's so unlikable. I really don't even understand how the conservative side of the world likes him or has any appreciation for him. He seems pretty hated on all spectrums. I don't understand how he's been voted into serving, you know, the people of Texas. But
you, everybody got really twisted about the vacation he took, right? You were mad about that.
Sure. Cancun Cruise, I guess, is what they were saying.
Is that his nickname there now?
Yeah, pretty much.
So what can I do for you tonight, my friend?
So I haven't seen The Last Waltz, and I just kind of, in terms of what I've heard about it and what I'm familiar with in terms of the artists involved, I don't have a really good understanding of why it's revered as one of the greatest concert movies of all time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, do you like any of those musicians?
You know, I like Neil Young. I don't know, you know, I'm sure I can look through the artist list on it and find other people who might have been involved that I appreciate, but generally I think in terms of the people who make up the majority of the movie, I'm not a fan.
Well, guess some of the other people that are in the movie. Can you guess? Do you know everybody who's in it, or you only?
I know that the band is involved. kind of a huge, negative, but additionally, I've heard that Van Morrison is in there at some point. And I'm gonna guess, because of the band in this era, I think that Dylan is involved possibly, but I don't know to what extent. And yeah, I've heard Neil as well, but you know,
Now, do you think the movie has a plot beyond the concert footage?
I don't. I'd like to imagine it is like a kind of Led Zeppelin song remains the same style, like some strange sketches in between, in, you know, the performances, but I'm guessing there's maybe some backstage footage or maybe some behind the scenes, like filming the cameras, filming the group sort of thing going on, but
Wow.
I don't know.
You're, look, in one way, you're not wrong about most of what you're saying, because it's a straight concert film with some behind the scenes interview stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know why the movie, what the purpose of the movie is.
I don't. I have no idea why it's revered. I understand Scorsese's involvement as a director, mm-hmm. but
you don't know why they made the movie.
No idea.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. They made it because it's their last show.
The band?
Yeah.
Okay.
And for me, I call that, if I was naming that movie, I would have called it Yippee! Hip Hip Hooray! I would have called it Yippee! Hip Hip Hooray! Don't let the door hit you in the rump. That's what I would have called that movie.
It's not surprising, I guess, knowing how you feel about the band.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, maybe you check it out. Maybe you check it out sometime. You get to hear those great songs that really hold up in 2021, like The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down, where you get a guy, a Confederate soldier, bemoaning the Yankees rolling in. Yeah, that song ain't tracking so much anymore.
I can imagine that. Do you enjoy the movie from a more objective context as a
it's okay. Look,
crazy document of its time.
Look, for what he did with it, yes. When you realize how elaborate his preparation was for it, it's very impressive. And my favorite thing about it is that they don't show the dumb crowd in it. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see any concert movie. I don't need to see the crowd at any of these things.
Mm-hmm. What about stand-up films? Feel the same way?
Don't need to see the crowd at those either. I don't care.
Agreed.
I don't care about, I gotta see somebody laugh. And then the most offensive thing they always do in these stand-up things with this is like, it's like a hate crime. When they're like, if somebody makes a joke and it involves like somebody of a particular race or whatever, and then they cut to that, a person of that ethnicity or laughing at it. It's like, what is going on here? That's the most offensive thing imaginable.
Yeah. It's sanctioned officially. It's been approved.
Yeah. It's so gross and weirdly. How did that become the norm for those specials? Well, my friend, I wish you and your buddy Raphael, Ted Cruz, a great season. And
thank you.
And you have nothing but fun with him and the rest of you. And
of course,
Louis Gohmert. Is he also from Texas?
I've heard the name, but I'm so disassociated from politics that I have no idea.
All right, buddy. You have a great night.
Thanks, Tom.
Pat, no more. We're not going to do any new more. Anybody who's on now gets through. Nothing new, though. Okay?
Yeah, we just have three calls. And actually, I was trying to put Mary through, and I forgot which line she is. But now I have determined where she is in the phone bank.
Oh, well, I love it. See? Again, Pat. You bring it.
I wouldn't have made that mistake.
All right, let's take the next call. Pat's silence speaks volumes on that one. Pat won't even argue.
Were you able to find those Droop waffles, Pat?
Oh.
The waffles got thrown out months ago.
they're probably still good.
Best show.
Hi.
Hi. Is this Mary?
This is.
How are you, like Mary? Mary from Maryland, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Lansdale, Pennsylvania.
Lansdale, that's right. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to hear you're very good.
I am. I am good. You know, the weather is gorgeous. You know, I got to go on like 4 walks today. You know, it's, what could be better? The days are getting longer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
you need a little bit of hope, huh? A little bit of hope goes a long way.
It absolutely does. You know, it's weird to be such a primate where like, oh, the days are getting longer and it's warmer. I think I can get through everything now, but you know what? I'm a primate.
Yeah. I hear you. I saw, I think Joe Rogan has discussed these matters at hand where we're all just apes. And we're all just Joe Rogan has explored this theme very often. I think he's one of our great truth tellers.
Oh dear, I've introduced accidental Joe Rogan.
No, you did not. You did not put that in the mix. So Mary, you are saying, I look at Twitter right now and I see it says, "Wait till you Xers find out what movies I've never seen."
Oh, yeah. I have big gaps from the 80s.
So when you say Xers, you mean Generation X?
Yeah, I'm in that like kind of cuspy area, you know. But my husband is 8 years older than me, so he's very prime, you know, Gen X, and so there's an entire swath of movies that he has seen that I have absolutely never seen.
And what would be one of the main offenders for that?
I've never seen Lethal Weapon. Not that he loves the movie or anything, but he's just shocked. I've never seen Lethal Weapon. I have no idea what happens in it.
What do you think Lethal Weapon is about? Do you know who's in it?
Well, I know who's in it, sort of. I know. Go ahead.
Who's in it?
Okay, so I know Danny Glover is like a police detective, and his partner is Mel Gibson, but with his American accent. And my impression is that Danny Glover does not want to have to deal with Mel Gibson, which in retrospect makes a lot of sense. But also they have to deal with Joe Pesci for some reason. And I think a diplomat goes around killing people.
Okay.
I don't know if that's actually the plot.
Well, Mary, I ain't never seen all the Lethal Weapon neither. I skipped those movies. I didn't watch. I think I saw some of the first one on cable. And then I saw one of the later ones where I think Danny Glover was stuck on a turlet that was wired to explode, which was first of all stolen from a Elmore Leonard, book. I think it was from Freaky Deaky, maybe had the bombers in it. Mike, any Elmore Leonard recollection on your part?
I don't remember an exploding toilet.
But they were like bombers and they trapped somebody on a toilet in one.
I don't remember that one.
I think Freaky Deaky might be the one with the bombs in it. So you think it's about two cops who don't get along?
They don't. I get the feeling that they probably don't like each other. And that Mel Gibson is way too much to have to put up with, like his character. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure who the lethal weapon in question is, but again, I kind of assume that it's Mel Gibson because he's is this like the idea of the loose cannon? Like Danny Glover is the straight arrow and Mel Gibson's the loose cannon who, you know, because he's got the long hair and is crazy? I don't know. Like, I don't know. All I know is that, like, a lot of people I know have seen it. I've never seen it. And why is Joe Pesci there? Because I think he's on some of the posters.
Does anybody on the show know, who's seen Lethal Weapon movies?
I have. And Joe Pesci isn't in Lethal Weapon. He's in Lethal Weapon 2.
Okay.
But,
they don't even have the right one.
Hmm?
I thought he was in 3.
He's in 3 as well. He's in 2 and 3. He's not in 1.
But isn't he in the poster for 3, breaking them apart? Like trying to get a word in edgewise on the poster?
Yes.
Making it look like a number of 3, because there's 3 of them on the poster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
So, how far off is Mary?
She's pretty close. I mean, Mel Gibson is kind of the hot-headed cop, and Danny Glover is, you know, he plays Murtaugh, who's trying to retire.
Murtaugh?
Yeah, Roger Murtaugh. And Mel Gibson was Martin Riggs.
Oh, so Riggs and Murtaugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and Danny Glover, like his big line is, "I'm getting too old for this."
Yeah, that's where that cliche comes from.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And Mary's pretty close.
Mary, you did a really good job.
I'm kind of shocked.
Is there any other movie that would stand out that you have no knowledge of?
Yes, Highlander.
Another movie I've never seen.
One of my all-time favorite movies.
Okay. So Highlander, okay, here's what I think it's about. Christopher Lambert is a Scottish guy in LA, but he's also from Scotland, and he has to fight, God, James Bond, what's his name? I can't believe it out of my head. But it turns out he's not Scottish in the movie. Sean Connery. He's not Scottish, and they have to like kill each other. And so that one of them can become an immortal. But I can't figure out, like, I saw the very beginning once, and that's all I saw, and I think it was the beginning of that movie, and he was in LA, like Christopher Lambert was in LA and he was fighting a dude in an alley. But for some reason it also takes place, I guess, in the Highlands, cause it is called Highlander, but I don't know what Scotland has to do with anything, because nobody in the movie is Scottish.
I always thought the movies were about people that fought through all of time and history and would fight and fight and fight, then they'd fight some more and they'd fight a little more and they'd fight again, and they just were always fighting over through the ages.
That sounds exhausting.
How close are either of us, Jason?
You're closer, Tom. Yeah, so he's Scottish, and so he, you know, becomes a Highlander. I mean, he becomes an immortal, back in older times in Scotland. And, Sean Connery's his friend, kind of teaches them all about, you know, what they are, about the quickening, which is, you know, who gets all of the power to basically get the power from another person. You have to cut off their head and then you absorb their power. So the person with all the power at the end, is referred, the final survivor takes the prize.
Okay.
And it goes all through time.
And they fight each other over and over, the same two guys?
It's not the same two guys. It's, well, I mean, throughout time, yeah. Until somebody kills somebody, and then they absorb that power, and then the other ones go after that person.
Well, how do they know who they have to kill?
I think they can sense it. They can tell who it is.
And what does it mean to be a Highlander?
I mean, he's just a Highlander. He's the, you know, that's where he's from. These are just immortals.
Okay. They're just immortals.
They're all immortals. Yeah.
All right.
So like Sean Connery was playing, you know, an Egyptian swordsman.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, wait, Sean Connery, that.
With that, a Spanish that name.
That legendary Egyptian actor, Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different times.
Yeah. And then Highlander 2.
Just imagine that for a second. Sean, Mr. Connery, we have a new movie we want you to consider. You play an Egyptian warrior, and he never once is just like, are you sure I should be playing an Egyptian? He never once says, I don't know if I can play an Egyptian. He's just like, yeah, I'll do it. He's just like, I'll make it work.
I mean, why not? If he can play Agamemnon, why not?
Yeah.
Well, but wait. Sorry, I'm just still processing that he's an Egyptian who's...
With a Spanish name.
He's an Egyptian, an immortal Egyptian with a Spanish name fighting a Scotsman.
They're not fighting, they're friends.
Oh, they're friends, okay.
Yeah, they're fighting another guy called the Kurgan, who was played by Clancy Brown.
Ooh, Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's another immortal that's trying to get the prize.
One of my favorite, really one of the only Grateful Dead songs I like, Clancy Brown. Ooh, Clancy Brown, shopping your wares all over town, going up and now you're going down. Ooh, Clancy Brown.
Is that a real song?
Yeah.
I just made it up.
Mary, you've heard the show before. Come on. Come on, Mary.
Driving that train high on cocaine.
Oh yeah, no.
Clancy
stop.
Brown, you better.
Yeah. Or you can do what I just did and ran to original. Clancy Brown, shopping your wares all over town. Sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. Ooh, Clancy Brown. And then they go into boom, 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 Sweet Magnolia Mountain, wearing me brand new blue jeans. That's the new Grateful Dead and Friends. John Mayer, Ringo. You're like one of that lousy all-star band. Now, Mike, would you see Ringo Starr with Dead and Company?
that'd be a real test of endurance, yeah.
I warn you all with peace and love. We, as of October 15th, we will no longer play drums space. Do not request drums space. We will not play it. Your request will get tossed. We will no longer play Terrapin Station. I'm warning you with peace and love. I'm warning you. I'm warning you. It's like Three Stooges.
It's hard to be intimidated by Ringo.
I would not exactly be intimidated by a warning from that guy. It's like, I would say to him, if I was going to be like, oh, you're going to sign everything I want you to sign. Just like, get like extra aggressive with him and just like, see how he handles that. Oh, you'll sign what I want you to sign and you'll like it. I'm going to mail you all sorts of stuff and you're going to sign all of it. I would start sending him so much stuff that like he has to eventually get one of those like those rental dumpster things in his driveway. Cause he's like, I told you it would all get tossed and I'm tossing all of it. And just like you just create this trap where all he's doing all day is throwing mail into this dumpster and he has to pay to get like, it's full again. I need to get a new dumpster. Peace and love.
I would be interested in that three drum attack though.
Oh, that would be pretty sweet.
Three drums.
Get Kreutzmann, Hart, Star. We all have a three drum attack going. We did Dark Star into Back Off Boogaloo.
You know, I am a drummer, and I don't think I could endure that. No.
Three drum attack. You know who had a pretty sweet three drum attack?
King Crimson.
Oh.
For the last few years, they got three drummers. It's one of the best things I ever saw in my life.
Man. See, now I've never seen King Crimson. I've seen the Feelies, and they have two drummers, which was I was very impressed by. But
Weckerman and Demesky, one of the best combos in the biz. Man, the Feelies are one of the best bands ever.
Yes.
They should be like the Grateful Good is what they should be called. Cause they're kind of like the Grateful Dead in certain ways where the fans know the thing and they do the thing and everybody loves the thing, but they're good. They're like, how is it also? Here's one to chew on, Mary.
Yeah.
How is it that the best band ever and the worst band ever both originally called themselves the Warlocks? Velvet Underground called themselves the Warlocks, and so did the Grateful Dead. How is that possible? Both bands, the best band in history and the worst band in history, both used the same name as a preliminary band name.
I guess it's like horseshoe theory, but with bands.
No, what's horseshoe theory? Yeah. I ain't so smart.
Oh, it's the idea that, don't even ask. It's like a dumb political idea that like, you know, if you go so far in one direction, you basically come back around the other. I don't actually believe it, but, maybe.
Is that like saying people on the far left and far right actually have things in common? Is that what you're saying? Like when that weird phenomenon happens?
Yeah. And I think that's what you said is exactly what it is. And I think people who use it are oversimplifying, and that's all I'm going to say.
Sure, sure. But look, I'm not saying that's, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Again,
no.
I'm not very smart, Mary. You know it. You've heard the show. I just don't bring a lot to the table in terms of brain.
You're not alone there. I mean, I'm right there with you at that
table. That's not what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to go, no, Tom, you're so smart. You're not supposed to go, yeah, you're pretty dumb, but so am I. That's you literally said the thing. You're like, no, you are dumb, but don't worry, I am too. Mary, I was fishing for a compliment. I was just like Joe Pesci. I was gone fishing.
And there's another one I've never seen.
Yeah, well, you're not alone on that one. And I also don't need to hear the plot of you guessing the plot of Gone Fishing. I'm going to say they go fishing in it. That's me going out on a limb. They go fishing for the movie Gone Fishing?
It's a pretty good guess.
Oh, Mary. No, you're dumb, but I am too.
No,
I'm just joking. All right, anything else tonight?
Oh gosh, no. I just, you know.
Well, I'll say this, Mary. It's nice to hear you. It's nice to hear you sounding good. It's nice to hear you sounding that you're feeling good.
Thank you, Tom. That's really sweet of you. I mean that.
Oh, thank you. I know you say what you mean. I know that.
Yeah.
I just got a little taste of it. All right. Well, thanks for calling. I'll talk to you very soon.
Good night, Tom.
Okay,
bye.
Bye. I was fishing. No, Tom, you're smart. Don't say you're dumb. You're so smart. No one thinks I'm smart.
I think you're smart.
There you go. That's all I wanted. I was wondering who'd come through the door first. I think you're smart too, Jason.
Thank you.
You know, the thing is, I know Mike doesn't think I'm smart. I know it.
You can hear it in his laugh.
No, I can. It's just like, and it's fine. I'm a clown. I'm a buffoon. I get it. And maybe I am. Maybe I am a clown, a buffoon, but I'm my own clown, my own buffoon. I know I can't roll with the eggheads. I can't put back the big books like they do. It takes me long enough to get through an issue of Highlights magazine. They're blasting through issues of Highlights. These guys are blasting through issues of Highlights magazine. They get one sitting. They go to the dentist. They start working on a second issue when they're there.
What do you look at first in Highlights?
I go to Goofus and Gallon.
Yeah, I mean, everybody does.
Yeah. But it's like, I go to the dentist. I do the thing. I end up sitting back down. I say to the guy, I'm going to need a while. I ask the front desk. It's like, can you just hold this issue of Highlights? I don't want to come back out and have some kid looking through it. Then I'll be here all day. Waiting for some kid to wrap up.
I haven't seen one in a while. I mean, is Goofus and Gallant still going?
Oh, they're doing great.
But Gallant, I mean, he's a little evil, right? I mean, Goofus is
dumb, bordering on thoughtless. Like his thoughtlessness is inconsiderate, bordering on selfish, and almost, yes, almost evil.
Yeah, I thought at times he could be pretty cruel. I mean, I wouldn't think they'd be able to get away with that now. You know, having like a cruel character. I mean, cruel and stupid.
Don't tell me that Highlights magazine got canceled.
No, I wasn't going to say that. But I remember a sort of cruel edge to him too. Maybe I'm misremembering.
Yeah. Well, next time you're at the dentist. I book 3 appointments, and that's what it takes for me to get through one issue of Highlights. I'm like, yeah, I'd like to schedule a tooth cleaning. Oh, for when? Tomorrow. And they're like, tomorrow? Like, yeah, I need to come back in. And I'd be like, I really need to get through this issue of Highlights. Pat, what other calls we got here?
We have 2 callers left.
2 callers left. Okay, give me one, please. Beshow, hi.
Hey, this is Macro from Seattle.
Macro from Seattle. Now, here's a blast from the past. This is a good caller. This is a good caller from the old days.
Oh, boy.
So what's up, Macro?
I got a movie for the topic.
What do you got?
I bought the DVD. I'm going to watch it this weekend. So when this topic came out, I thought it would be perfect. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
I watched it last week. What do you think it's about?
Well, I know Beatles songs are involved. I know the Bee Gees are in it. I had the soundtrack for a while, so I know Steve Martin and George Burns are in it. I don't know the plot at all, though.
I'll say this. I don't think they knew the plot, honestly. But the great moment is when George Burns is like imagining himself in the band, and suddenly he's on stage at the old gazebo going, I'm fixing a hole where the rain came in that stops my mind from wandering. Where it will go. He loves, it's great to hear George Harrison do that ode to heroin abuse, fixing a hole. And it really doesn't matter if I'm wrong, I'm right. Or I belong, I'm right. Where I will go. No, it's good stuff. I'm interested to hear what you say about the movie. Please call back. After you've seen it, I'm so curious.
Okay. I have no idea what the characters are, but may I tell you what I think the characters are?
Oh, please do, please.
Okay. So, I figured it's not a good movie because that's all I hear about is that it's a terrible movie. So, mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's just a typical.
So, everyone telling you it's a terrible movie. has led you to believe that maybe this might be a terrible movie? That there's no one saying one nice thing about the worst movie. Everybody's saying it's the worst. And look, I'm in the same boat. I saw it when I was a kid, then I watched it again, and I'm just like, yeah, it's still bad.
I somehow never saw it originally. I saw Xanadu as a kid, and I barely remembered that. But when I saw it again, it was much worse than I expected. So
now Xanadu's a fun movie, but it's bad.
It's campy for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to see Gene Kelly and Electric Light Orchestra share the screen and the tubes? Finally, Gene Kelly and the tubes. Is it Gene Kelly or Fred Astaire?
I think it's Gene Kelly.
One of those tap dancing fools. I could have done that. That's one of the things I also could have done if I had just gotten the chance. Tap dance. I could have tap dance, right? Just get some, put some little taps on your shoes and clickety clack all over the place. Right?
For fun, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And for money. Yeah.
And for money. But just to be in something where you're like, but, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then suddenly it stops, ba-da-da-da, and I go, and the band would start. Yeah. I could have done that.
I would have loved that.
Maybe I'll get into tap dancing. Is it too late?
It's never too late.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Got anything else for me, my friend?
I was just gonna posit more about what I think the plot is for the movie. Sorry,
please.
So I figured it's since it's called Sergeant Pepper's, this is a military club that they're playing at because it's Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club. That's the setting of the movie. So I figured that each of the Bee Gees are a different rank in the military. Like there's Admiral Maurice, there's fighter pilot Robin, and there's General Barry. Something like that.
Okay, interesting,
and
interesting.
They're kind of like the three muses that kind of oversee the basic romantic plot shoehorned into the album songs, basically.
Mm-hmm. What are there characters named after Beatles songs in it?
Well, Lovely Rita is probably the character that the guy who plays the protagonist in the movie is trying to woo. Basically.
Okay. You think it's Lovely Rita. Okay. Interesting. Interesting. I got to say this. You're off base, but you got to see it.
Yep. I saw Can't Stop the Music in the Apple. I figured I can deal with this.
It's waiting for you. You got to complete the trilogy.
Yes. Yes. It's the last Bee Gees movie I haven't seen, actually, so.
It's the last Bee Gees movie you haven't seen?
Yeah, I've seen.
You saw Cucumber Castle?
I just realized, I was thinking of the soundtrack to what they did, and I realized they're not in the movies. Is this the only movie they're in? I guess it is.
The Bee Gees?
I'm trying to think what else they're in. This might be the only movie they're in.
They had a movie, I believe. I never saw it. Did they have a movie called Cucumber Castle? Yeah, they had a film called Cucumber Castle in 1970.
Wow. Okay. Then it'll be the second to last movie I see.
There you go. You gotta get those Bee Gees movies locked down.
Yep. I mean, I've been on a Bee Gees kick, so I figured I might as well just
get them all. So
there you go. Knock them all off. Just like you're like a Pokemon, but with Bee Gees movies. That'd be a pretty bleak Pokemon world with two Pokemons. Got to catch them all. Yeah, I got them both. We're done. All right. Thanks for the call, buddy. I got to wrap it up.
Okay.
Final call. Final call. Here we go.
Tom, that's our show.
That's it? That was the final call?
Final call. The other one bailed.
Well, how about that? It's a good note to end on. Now, Pat, where are you going to spend all your best show points you got?
You know, I'll probably just,
You gonna bank them?
No, I'll take a hot bath and I'll just
there you go.
Save them for a
rain. I love it. Okay. Well, my friends, again, patreon.com/thebestshow. That's where you go to get, all the best show, bonus stuff so far. And, the Friends Recap Podcast, which again, it's a funny show. It's not a real Friends recap show. It's a funny show. Meet My Friends of Friends and all the other stuff up there. There's all sorts of other things and we will be back next week. We're going to do a good show for you next week and I appreciate everybody listening. Thank you to Mike. Thank you to Jason. Thank you, Pat. And thank you, the best show listener, for being cool.